This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Hey, hey, guys. Welcome. You are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast, and I am your host, Jamie Glowacki, the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So first and foremost, last week I was slayed by the flu. Craziest thing, I feel like I've been sick since Thanksgiving, which is weird because my kid's not in daycare. I homeschool, right? I don't like to people a whole lot. I live in the middle of the woods. You'd think I would like have nothing. I lick doorknobs for immunity. But this year, man, I caught everything. And it's oh my gosh. I don't know if you guys, I can't remember ever having the flu, but I literally woke up last Thursday, took my dog for a walk, and on the walk, on the trail, got so achy, so bone, like my bones hurt. I could hardly get in my truck, which is so strange because I'm like super healthy, super strong. I work out all the time. It was the weirdest feeling. And so like, had to cancel everything. So anyway, I still have some crud. And then I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, but Pascal passed his driving license test yesterday, which is like, oh my God, it is a game changer. Little fearful, yes, but just today he said, hey mom, can we go over to this store we go to? It's called Big Bear. And I said, no, I don't have time, but you can take the truck. And then he said, oh no, you forgot to buy yogurt at the store. And I was like, okay, you can go to the store and get your yogurt. And so it is a game changer. I am luxuriating in the newfound freedom. Just want to let you guys know that what's ahead. There will be a time when your child can go drive themselves to the store and get their own yogurt. Okay, moving on to all things potty training. Today, I want to talk about resetting. When you need a do-over, when you need to fold your cards and start over again. So first and foremost, resetting, I tend to run in two camps. There tends to be the person who wants to reset after potty training for 6 hours and is like, this is not working, which is insane. But I hear this all the time on social media. And then the other person is the person who has put in a couple of days or maybe a week or two and is not making any progress and is really resistant to resetting because they put in all the work and they don't, you know, want to obviously start over. So first I want to give you a soft permission. You guys never actually need my permission, but sometimes it helps that you can reset anytime. You can reset. You don't need my permission. You don't have to feel bad. Sometimes it just does take a false start and then the child does fine the second time around. I do have quite a few rules around the reset because people misuse them. I'd say the number one thing when I'm working with a client, when I suggest a reset, it really actually has little to do with the child and more to do with you, the parent. When you are at the absolute end of your rope, you are crying, you are frustrated, you cannot be an effective teacher. So in those instances, I will often recommend a reset just because if you're all over the map, if you're anxious, if you've gotten to a place where you're totally strung out, there is no way you will have a poker face enough to be an effective teacher for your child. Remember, they are globbing onto our nonverbal communication. If you are anxious and scattered, they are going to be anxious and scattered, or they will be resistant because clearly they're like the hair on their necks going up. If mom and dad are freaking out, then I need to freak out too, and I'm going to resist. So you can see all manner of strange behavior crop up when we, the parents, are like not settled, calm, regulated, and able to be effective teachers. The one thing you don't have to fear is that when you do reset, all the hard work you've done, it like almost marinates. It really doesn't just go away in a puff of air. It marinates. And so most often then you take it up a second time and the child is like, oh, right, this thing. And it goes really, really smoothly. I would say in like 99% of the cases, it does go really smoothly. So I don't want you to fear the reset. There's no shame in like starting over. However, like I said, I see these kind of two polar opposites, right? It doesn't mean that you cave after one day of potty training. Yes, you got to give your child a chance to learn this. And I know for a fact that every child will learn this. Every situation can be worked through. Some kids need more time. Sometimes you might need a consultation because you have a really individual problem. But I know for a fact that every kid can work through this and become potty trained. But there are real life factors that get in our way. Number one is if you are like both working outside the home, the child has to be in a daycare situation and their daycare is not willing to work with you, or you just know your child's like, they're doing okay. You're seeing tiny progresses. That feels great, but you know they're not ready to be in daycare, you know, amongst multiple kids where the teacher can't focus just on them. And so, you know, real life situations, mostly time will back you into a corner. And for those situations, I say, sure, reset. The number one thing, I keep saying the number one thing, and that's like wrong. There's a lot of number one things about resets. One thing you do want to be cognizant of when you reset is what's going to be different the next time you do it. So in these instances, if your child is showing high anxiety, that needs to be worked through. And that I would suggest a consult, whether it's pee withholding or poop withholding, super anxious about releasing either pee or poop, that needs to be worked through. Now you can reset temporarily while you're trying to figure out, do I want a consult? What am I going to do about this? Those kinds of things. You can reset temporarily, but I would not suggest a reset thinking that this is just going to be smoother the next time around. And that really happens. And this ties into the notion that a child who is anxious is somehow not ready. And so you say, okay, they're clearly not ready. I'm going to reset. I'm going to pick this up in a year. The problem is that anxiety doesn't go away. I have never seen it in my work go away. It just gets worse as the child gets older because the diaper wearing habit gets that much more entrenched. Remember, it is a habit. Diaper wearing is a habit, and we're changing that habit. And a 2-year habit is a lot easier to change than a 4-year habit, particularly if we're talking about that anxiety, because that anxiety in a 4-year-old is going to manifest differently. That child's going to be harder to hold. That child is going to have more manipulative skills, and that child is just going to be bigger, and it's going to be harder, and they're going to have more of an anxiety because now they have a more entrenched habit. Yes? If you are resetting after, like I said, one day, that's not enough time, you guys. You have got to give your child time to learn. And again, I see this a lot in high pressure situations where the parent really does think that 3 days is going to be plenty. They take a holiday weekend and it's not enough time. Inherent in that process is, again, too much pressure on the child because the child has to go back to daycare. So in that situation, yes, you can reset, but what's going to be different the next time? Not the child. The child doesn't have to change their learning curve. The child is well within appropriate bounds. Yes, you need the next time around to allot more time to this process, whatever that looks like, vacation time, summer, a holiday from daycare, whatever that looks like for you, it will be different in every situation. That I would say, go ahead and reset, but be realistic about what's going to happen the next time. Not that the child's going to change, but that you're going to change. Another situation that comes up is that you've been at this, like you've been at this a long time for the beginning of the process to not make progress. So let's say, you know, you've been at it a week or two, and at the end of 2 weeks, you're like, I can't even tell. There's random accidents. There's maybe manipulative accidents. There's accidents. I don't know when they're coming. You don't have any sort of clue. You don't know what to do. I always think it looks like a sweater that's unraveling. You know, it just kind of looks like there's a mess. We can't really pinpoint it. And in that case, I would also suggest a consultation, but reset. Definitely reset to get your shit together, to get their shit together, to, you know, that's just too long of the beginning learning curve, because your child will get sick of it. If they can't do something well, right? I talk about this in the book. I call it the inner fuck it, right? Is the child will go to a place of, I don't care if it takes too long. We don't like to be in process. We like to be done. We don't like to be learning. We like to be learned. We like it all set. And a child really feels that if they're not successful and they can feel that they're not successful and you're kind of getting a little high pressured, a little anxious yourself, then the child is going to go to that place of, I don't care. And that's where you are going to see a lot of difficulties. Now, remember, the last episode I did solo was about the reasons you don't reward potty training. In this situation, that might be a situation where you would use a reward briefly just to see. We run into this where the parent isn't quite sure. They're like, I'm not sure if they're not learning it. I'm not sure if this is behavior, because the behavior can start to feel like the child's being really kind of aggressive or maybe peeing on purpose. And a lot of times this gets so high pressured that the parent sees behavior when there's not behavior. And so I'll be working with a client. They're like, no, they're doing this on purpose. And I'm like, I don't like to go to they're doing it on purpose right away. I don't like to go to, you know, there are certainly things we can do for behavior modification, but I don't like to go there first, right? I like to go with the assumption that there's somehow a glitch in learning. This I run into quite a lot when people have potty trained, like without my book, which I don't care, you guys, wing it. You know, I think it's best to have a plan. There's enough potty training people out there, you know, it doesn't even have to be my plan. But a lot of parents are like, oh, how hard could this be? And it just ends up being a wreck. You know, a big mistake is putting underpants on right away and there's accidents all over the place. And so in those instances, I say, okay, well, you can reset and kind of like get a plan, read my book or read somebody's book, you know, get a really solid plan in mind. And or you could, in that instance, use a reward to say, oh, they can't even do this for an M&M. Okay, that's a glitch in learning for sure. You know, vice versa, or is that vice versa or opposite of that is, you know, the child can instantly do it for an M&M. And then, you know, you say, oh, okay, now I know the child can do it. And that gives you a little bit of leverage to be a little more firm and say, you know what, cut it out. You can do it for an M&M. You can do it, period. And so it just gives you more confidence to put on that, you know, that parental voice. I call it the mom voice, but dads don't typically need it because dads have a lower pitch. They don't typically have the issues with boundaries and being firm. It's typically us moms that are like, well, I don't know, you know, he's my baby. I don't know if he's having a hard time learning or if it's behavior. So once we learn that, through rewards, you can ditch the rewards and have that confidence to be a little firmer. The other instance in which you cannot reset is if the child is over three. Now, if you've listened to my podcast, you know my work. There is a societal norm now that we wait till three, three and a half to potty train. I strongly disagree with this, but you can do whatever you like. However, if you run into a little resistance or you run into that anxiety, you cannot do this over three because you don't have a lot of wiggle room. There is a reason preschools demand children be fully potty trained by three. A lot of preschools now are letting the kids slide, which again, I don't exactly love. The children are in a different stage of development. They should be taking care of their bodily functions by then so they can move on to these other stages of development. Largely, one is cooperative play. When you cooperatively play, you do not pee and poop in your pants. Yes. Prior to cooperative play, we do parallel play, which is, you know, two kids sitting there just in their own little universes. They might switch toys. They might communicate, but they're not actually building things together. That happens at three, three and a half. And so when there's a reason that children should be potty trained because of that cooperative play, when we are cooperating with people, when we are building something with other people, it is societally inappropriate to be pooping and peeing like whenever, you know, in a diaper or in your pants. So that is why children should be potty trained by the time they're three. And that is why preschools are pretty intent upon it. And the other thing is preschool teachers largely have masters or doctorates, right? Like they should not be changing diapers. That shouldn't be part of their job. They have so many other, you know, exciting developmental things to do with your child than that.
Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So you don't get a lot of wiggle room. So if your child's over three, what I have found in a lot of instances is parents are again put in these high pressure situations where they waited a little too long. And I'm not blaming you. I know you probably heard wait till they're ready. I know that things have come up. I understand that, but you got to get on it now. And so you don't have that wiggle room, and whatever issues present at three are not going to get better with time. Now, if you have a 16-month-old and you're like, I don't know, they're interested in the potty. Let me see. Let me wing it. And the 16-month-old potty trains great. And if they don't, you go, all right, that, yeah, no, that I wasn't right about that. I'm going to wait a little while. You have wiggle room. You have a lot of wiggle room to still be in the really appropriate age to potty train. So that's why I say not after three. And largely what I see after three is it's never a learning glitch. And I don't even care if your child is delayed. If they're adjusted ages three or above, they know what's going on. They understand where pee and poop is coming from. They know when they're doing it. There's very little learning to happen. It's almost always behavior stuff because at three, like we've discussed, we have that individuation in which your child is discovering they're separate from you. They have free will and choice. And this is such an exciting part of development. It may not feel exciting to you because your kid is like, no, I said this, you're wrong. You know, they're very opinionated. They're very strong. They have that wonderful blossoming personality. You're going to really start to see who they are separate from you, which is just so exciting. But you don't want to add pee and poop on top of that because they can control that. And it is the only thing they can control. And so I just see such epic, I never see these epic behavior struggles under 30 months. This is always, you know, usually like three and above. So again, you don't want to reset because you don't have that wiggle room. The other thing at that age is, and this ties into my other really big don't about a reset, is you only get one. You cannot keep trying potty training, and I'm putting that in air quotes. You cannot keep trying to potty train and then defaulting to a diaper because what you're telling your child is, I don't think you can do it. I don't have confidence in you. And however you're reacting is correct, whether it's fear, anxiety, whether it's just being, you know, difficult, or again, that blossoming personality, just digging in their heels because they can dig in their heels. When we go and multiple attempts at potty training, your child has figured out that all they have to do is do X, Y, and Z and they get the diaper back. And to a lot of people, this doesn't make sense. But again, we have to look at it through the child's eyes. Most kids prefer their diaper. Most kids prefer their diaper. And it sounds gross, but they've been peeing and pooping in it, feeling their wet pee and their warm poop against their butt is the only thing they know. And that feels comfortable. So they like it. You know, it's a little bit of work. You know, before you could just do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, and your mom took care of the mess. And now we're asking you to be a little autonomous and to check your own cues, and you have to stop playing. So there is a little bit of work. So most kids do prefer the diaper. So that's what we have to look at. Like, why would a kid want to be in a diaper? Because it's all they've known and loved. It's a security blanket, really. So that is one of the reasons that you only get one, because they really want, most kids would like to stay in the diaper given their druthers, given the opportunity, especially if you're frustrated within hours of potty training. Yeah. So I say there's only one because we don't want to give them the message that we don't believe in them, but we also don't want to give them the message that whatever behavior they had that made you think they needed to put a diaper back on, that behavior will always get them the diaper. And I don't know if you guys listen to my parenting podcast or if you've read my parenting book, but I use this example all the time. What we view as manipulative behavior is just learned behavior. It's not your child being a little jerk. It really isn't. And I use this example of when you're in the market, okay? And like you go to the market, you know, you have a week's worth of food in the cart, you're at the checkout, there's a line, it's Sunday, everybody else is there, it's miserable, you got your toddler, and they have, of course, the candy is eye level, right? And so you're like, oh, your child is like, I want the M&Ms, you know? I always use M&Ms because I love M&Ms. So your child starts to cry for the M&Ms. You're being a good parent. You're like, no, no, no. Your child starts to lose it. You don't want to get out of line. You don't want to do this. You don't want to leave the store. So you cave and you give them the M&Ms. Fine. The problem is the child learned that you said no four times. So next time they can easily go to four no's and they can raise you to five or six no's, and they will escalate their behavior to get what they want. Now, again, that looks like strict manipulation, crappy behavior, but you taught them this behavior. And if you take all the guilt and all the shame and all the emotion out of it, all your child learned was, oh, mommy will give me the M&Ms if I press this button 5 times. Yes? And so that's why we have to be careful about these things. I don't care if your kid gets the M&Ms. And in fact, my theory is cave sooner. Learn to really judge the situation in a couple of seconds and say, oh my God, I'm exhausted. I'm not leaving this line. This kid's about to lose it. I don't know what to do. What? All right, give him the M&Ms. Give him the M&Ms so he learns that a yes is a yes. And that, you know, when you say yes, you mean yes. And when you say no, you mean no. And that's where you really have to hold those boundaries, because if you don't, again, with absolutely no guilt or shame, you've just taught your child, press this button this many times. And so that really goes for the reset too. If you do it multiple times, the child learns, this is what I do to get X, Y, and Z, and I want X, Y, and Z. And if your child has in the past wanted the diaper back, then you got a child who really loves the diaper. Not all kids love the diaper. Some kids really do take to potty training the first day, but you have a kid who likes the diaper. So you have to be even more cautious. And so you only get one. Now, once you've done the reset, this can be handled several different ways. And it really just depends on your kid. So typically what I do, you know, I advise clients to do is to put the diaper back on. Don't say, you don't have to be heavy-hearted or anything. You can just say, you know what? We're not going to potty train right now. We're going to put your diaper back on for a little while. And, you know, we'll just go about our business. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't guilt the child. Don't shame yourself. Don't shame the child. Don't feel guilty about it. Just, we're not doing this anymore. Yeah. We gave it a good go and mommy's tired and this is what we're doing. At that point, you can either put the potty chair away. The younger the child is, the more I would say just put the potty chair away. The older the child, if you're dealing with a child who's like, you know, 20, 25, 26 months, then you put, you know, you can put the potty chair away. Or you can keep it in the bathroom. What I don't want it to do is stay out in the house, and I don't want you to use it like intermittently. Like if you're going to reset, reset. It should be a clean thing. No more potty training. Don't mention the words potty training. Keep it in the bathroom. If the child has the impetus to use it, which does happen, I'd say about 30% of the time, you put the diaper back on, you say, we're not doing this. And the kid's like, oh, well, wait a minute. I want to use the potty. You can honor the call. You can say, okay. Take the diaper off and kind of let them take it. You know, don't be like, oh, okay, I'll go get the potty for you. Like kind of make them work for it a little just to test the waters. And the child may go to the bathroom, may sit on the potty and pee. Great. That's awesome. In that case, I would say keep going, right? Keep going with the potty training. Now, it may be that you reset and a couple of days go by and then the child wants to use the potty. What I would say is when you reset, plan the future date. And that can be anywhere from 2 weeks to like, it really can be a longer time if you want it to, assuming your child's in an age range that you can do a longer time. Yes, if your child's 3, you can't do that. But set the date and know that you're going to, you know, how you're going to run through the blocks all over again. You're going to, you know, set aside some time, but this is for you to recoup as well as your child. Okay, so you put it in the bathroom and a couple of days go by and the child wants to use it. Again, throughout the reset, if the child wants to use it, don't make a big deal about it. Let them, and then just put the diaper back on. What I really want you to understand about this is you're not leading the process. So there isn't necessarily a mixed message. If the child is leading the process and decides, okay, I'm going to use the potty now, that's fine. Don't worry about it, but don't you start asking them or, you know, prompting them or, hey, why don't we start this thing again? You really have to decide we're doing this or we're not. And again, if the child leads, they can go. But if the child doesn't lead, don't do anything until your restart date. Okay. Because what happens, and I see this all the time, is parents get into a murky zone. And the child now thinks that they actually have a choice. They can use the diaper or the potty, and you're on board with that. Behind the scenes, the child does have a choice. If they ask, they can use the potty and they can use the diaper, but you don't want to be part of that process. Does that make sense? You don't want to be condoning that. So we'll let the child do that. You do the start date. And then again, if it looks like, shoot, this kid just did 4 pees in a row on the potty, that's when you might say, okay, you know what? F the reset. I'm going to go for it and do it again. A lot of times what happens the minute you put the diaper on, you and your child both relax. And this happens, I can't even tell you the amount of times people book with me. And then, you know, I usually book a couple, you know, a week or two at least in advance. And so in that time, the child ends up like doing just fine. Because what happened is the mom was like, I'm going to talk to Jamie. She's going to make it all okay. Everything's going to be great. She relaxed, the child relaxed, and everything went according to plan. And that happens so often that I can't discount that it's a fact. So I think the thing that happens also with a reset is you're like, oh, good. Okay, I'm done this struggle. This has been crazy for the last 5 days. I'm losing my mind. Diapers back on. You're back to self-regulated. Your child then can regulate. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, that thing that we were doing, let's do that because that seemed fun. So again, the whole idea of this, and I hope you're picking this up in this episode, the theme is you. It really is you. And when you find yourself getting stressed out, don't automatically jump to a reset, but find a way to regulate and find a way to know, number one, your kid is not doing this on purpose. I can guarantee that they're not doing this on purpose. They're having reactions. Kids have big reactions to certain milestones, and that's okay. You can work through it as long as you are regulated. And that this nonverbal communication means so much. And so you have to know that your child's not doing it on purpose. You also have to know, like, again, guys, the DMs I get on Instagram, I've been potty training for 6 hours. Your method sucks. This is awful. I'm never doing it. Like, okay, 6 hours. They want their child to learn an entirely new skill set. That's crazy making to me. So make sure you've given your child enough time and be as regulated as you can. Please remember, whenever I do a guest interview on a podcast, they always ask me for some like wise words at the end. And I always tell them this: potty training is not a measurement of your parenting. And this is why I think it's so vital. One of my hugest don'ts is don't post on social media that you're about to start potty training, because you just put yourself in the effing spotlight. You just put it. And then that's why so many people don't want to do a reset, because they're like, well, I just told everybody and now I have to like admit failure. It's not failure. Guys, kids stumble in every developmental milestone. They fall. They have accidents. But that's why I say don't put that pressure on yourself, because if you post on social media, now all of a sudden you got to prove something. This isn't about proving anything. It's just something that has to happen in your kid's life. It's just a developmental milestone. Don't put all of that on yourself, okay? It's not a measurement of your parenting. It really isn't. And every kid is going to learn things differently, and every kid is going to struggle in some area of learning in life. So just get used to that. So that's how resets work. Again, I think the biggest confusion comes in when it gets murky, when parents don't quite know what to do. Quit early. And I always say this, it's in my book. I first tried to potty train Pascal when he was 18 months. He was in daycare. You know, I worked obviously outside the home, and I could tell, because of my experience, of course, I could tell that that wasn't gonna, I was like, oh no, like after 2 days, I was like, he's not going to be able to handle daycare. I could do this. If I stayed home, I could do this. We could absolutely work through this. It would take about a week or two, but I need it done a little bit faster, and he's not going to be ready for daycare. I shelved it at 22 months. I potty trained him and it went effortlessly. So there is that. Yeah. And I just want to remind you again of anywhere after 24 months, I would say, you aren't dealing with teaching. You really aren't. Before 24 months, you might have to do a little bit of teaching about the pee and poop. But after 24 months, the kid is not clueless. So I want to bring that up, because a lot of parents will be like, no, they're clueless. And I think what's happened again is the societal norm has creeped in and made us think that they're more infantile than they are. But I've really found in my work that it's not, it's almost never cluelessness, 24 to 32 months. All right, you guys, that's all I have today. I super appreciate you listening. And yeah, if you have any questions, of course, reach out on Instagram is best. And that's about it. All right, you guys, as always, I appreciate you and rock on.